Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. It's Saturday. I'm calling this show an annex to our Sunday show because it's political. Today we're going to have a young man running for a commission seat here in Lake Worth again on the show. His name is Ryan Hartman. Before we get into talking to Ryan, I would really like to sort of microcosm, macrocosm this. There were incidents, well, it's almost daily really anymore, but there was some incidents going on in Chicago, which, I mean, we were just talking. I was 13, you were 15. We know what Chicago political protests can trigger in this country. But I do want to play a piece that came off of the from the Rachel Maddow show last night, because I really think it comes to bear on everything right now. And Ryan, I hope you'll be patient with us. We do have 90 minutes today, so I wanted to give you plenty of time to address the issues that you would like to address. You there with me, Ryan?
I sure am.
Okay.
Hey, hello. Good morning, Ryan. Wayne Johnson.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay. Let me play Rachel Maddow.
So thank you for staying with us tonight. This has turned out to be a night that may go down in history as one of the darker moments in American major party politics. Here's the context. Here's how I think we got here. And I think we got here by a deliberate means. I don't think this was an accident. One of the really important, really intense things that's been going on in our country over the past few years that has mostly been happening outside of big time electoral politics has been a race issue and a justice issue and a civil rights issue and a public order issue, frankly, in cities and suburbs all over the country, where major controversies and at times public unrest has broken out in response to police killings of African Americans. In the St. Louis area, we saw Ferguson, Missouri go up like a cauldron there after the killing of an unarmed teenager named Michael Brown. In Chicago, it was dash cam footage of a 17-year-old named Laquan McDonald being shot 16 times by a Chicago police officer. In Cleveland, it was first just the story and then some almost unbelievable footage of Cleveland police rolling up on a 12-year-old boy in a city park and shooting him dead in an encounter that took less than 3 seconds. That was Tamir Rice, who was killed in Cleveland. So the St. Louis area, Chicago, and Cleveland. Those are not the only three American cities that have proven to be real tinderboxes around issues of race and racism and policing and violence, but those three happen to be the three most recent stops on the itinerary of Republican presidential contender Donald Trump, whose rallies have featured racially charged incidents of violence for months now. But as Donald Trump's campaign left the Deep South and prepared to swing into Chicago tonight and Cleveland tomorrow, we've seen one part of this phenomenon is becoming more intense at Donald Trump rallies. There have been instances in the past where he has encouraged or at least praised the idea of violent actions by his supporters, and he's spoken wistfully about how great it would be to beat people up at his rallies, or he's told people that he would pay their legal fees if they beat up a protester on his behalf. He has done that in the past. But this sort of bloodlust, right, this half tongue-in-cheek, mostly serious call for a tougher America where there are more beatings and where anti-Trump protesters should fear for their lives, as he heads into these tinderbox cities today and tonight, I just want you to watch how that part of candidate Donald Trump's rhetoric has escalated. Okay, we've put date stamps on these comments from him. These are all comments from him from the podium at his public events. We put date stamps on them so you can see when he made them. We have laid these out in chronological order. If you want to see the crescendo here, if you want to see the deliberate act that created what happened tonight in Chicago, well, watch where it came from. And where this culminates is what has happened over the course of today and into tonight. And it really is like nothing we've ever seen in mainstream American politics before. We have seen this at the fringe of stuff that's barely called politics. When I was a kid growing up in Northern California in the 1980s, you used to see this kind of thing at skinhead events, right? But this is now mainstream, front-runner, Republican national politics. And tonight in Chicago, it really turns into playing with fire. But if you want to know where it came from and you want me to prove to you that it was deliberate what happened tonight in Chicago, well, here's where it came from. Watch. This is chronological.
If you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the crap out of them, would you? Seriously. Okay? Just knock the hell. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees. I promise. I love the old days. You know what they used to do to guys like that when they were in a place like this? They'd be carried out on a stretcher, folks. That's true. I'd like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you. In the good old days, they'd rip him out of that seat so fast. But today, everybody's politically correct. Our country's going to hell with being politically correct. Going to hell. Now, get him out of here, please. Get him out. Get him out. Are you from Mexico? Are you from Mexico? Huh? Are you from Mexico? Get out of here. Get out. Out. Oh, this is amazing. So much fun. I love it. I love it. We having a good time? USA. USA. Yeah, get him out. Try not to hurt him. If you do, I'll defend you in court. Don't worry about it. He had four guys. They jumped at him. They were swinging and swinging. The next day, we got killed in the press. That we were too rough. Give me a break. You know? Right? We don't want to be too politically correct anymore. Right, folks? Get him out of here. Get him out. Get him out of here. Get him out. Are these rallies the most fun of everybody, right? Do we have the most fun? Do we have the most fun? Yeah, get him out of here. Get him out. Get him out. So disruptive. Remember when Bernie Sanders, they took the mic away from him? That's not going to happen with us, folks. That's not going to happen. Remember that? He walked away from the mic and he stood back and he watched these two young girls talking to the audience and they said, we came to listen to him. And he was standing in the back as two women took the mic away. Now, that doesn't happen to us. Get that guy out of here. Get him out. Get that guy out of here. Get him out of here. Get him out. He had some people, some rough guys like we have right in here. And they started punching back. It was a beautiful thing. I mean, they started punching back. In the good old days, this doesn't happen because they used to treat them very, very rough. And when they protested once, you know, they would not do it again so easily. But today they walk in and they put their hand up and they put the wrong finger in the air at everybody. And they get away with murder because we've become weak. We've become weak.
Anybody who tells you there is no connection between the behavior of the mob at these events and the behavior of the man at the podium leading the mob at these events is not actually watching what he has been saying from the podium. And what he has been saying and the way he has been egging this sort of thing on, it is escalating. I mean, that very last clip we just showed there from him, that was in Fayetteville, North Carolina on Wednesday night. And that was when the Trump supporter threw that sucker punch elbow in the face of a protester who was being taken out of the event. That man there with the ponytail throws the elbow right here. He's since been charged for doing that. He got arrested and charged the next day. But if you want to know why things escalated today to the point where this Donald Trump rally had to be canceled tonight in Chicago because security fears that there was no way it could be kept under control and then it quickly proved the point, you want to know why this happened tonight? Consider that Trump supporter was charged with physically assaulting that protester at a Trump rally yesterday. He was arrested and charged yesterday. And then this is how Donald Trump today, again in St. Louis, not exactly a city that is at ease on issues like this right now, right? This is how Donald Trump today in St. Louis talked about violence at his rallies, talked about the rightness or wrongness of his supporters throwing punches at protesters and beating people up at his events. This is what happened today at the event before Chicago went off the rails tonight.
You know, part of the problem and part of the reason it takes so long is nobody wants to hurt each other anymore, right? And they're being politically correct the way they take them out. So it takes a little bit longer. And honestly, protesters, they realize it. They realize that there are no consequences to protesting anymore. There used to be consequences. There are none anymore. So that's it. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Are they gone? Yeah, they're gone. Our country has to toughen up, folks. We have to toughen up. These people are bringing us down. Remember that. They're bringing us down. No reason for it. These people are so bad for our country, you have no idea, folks. You have no idea. They contribute nothing. Nothing. They can get up, and when they're being whisked out, they can raise their bad finger up in the air and drive people, which is very unfair. And some people get very angry at that because you know what that represents. And then when they get a little bit overly angry, they're in trouble. The guy that raised his finger, no, that's no problem. That's no problem. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get him out. Get him out. Troublemaker. Get him out of here. Hurting this country, folks. Hurting this country. Big mouth. Yeah, get him out. Go home to mommy. Go home and get a job. Go home, get a job. Get a job. I'll tell you, these are not good people, folks, just so you understand. Yeah. These are not good people. And I heard this was going to happen, and they said, Mr. Trump, would you like to cancel? I said, absolutely not. These are not good people. These are not the people that made our country great, but we're going to make it great again. But these are not the people. These are the people that are destroying our country. Well, you get him out. Get him out. Come on, let's go. Get him out.
That's the way that Donald Trump has been talking about protesters at his events. That's the way that he has been directing his supporters at events to treat those protesters. That was today. If you want to know what led up to Chicago tonight, that was Donald Trump's display of leadership and calming the waters at his event this afternoon.
Terrible.
Apparently, officials of some kind in St. Louis were worried enough about what was going to happen at that rally that it was suggested to Mr. Trump, at least he said it was, that maybe that event should be canceled. That event was not canceled. It went on, and Mr. Trump lamented that we can't be rough enough with protesters anymore, that these are terrible people, that these are the people destroying our country, that we need to toughen up as a country anybody who gets in trouble because they do something to a protester who gives them a finger. That is the... Yeah. That's what he did in St. Louis. They didn't cancel St. Louis. They did cancel Chicago. After the streets were full around the venue, after the venue itself was full of thousands of people, and they just let them all in, and then they called it off, and then they left and just let them fight it out, literally fight it out. American presidential politics isn't like this for anybody else. American presidential politics did not get this way on its own. This is the work of an American presidential candidate who deliberately made this happen. And the
I thought it was important. I know it was a long clip. I thought it was important.
No, but it was definitely important. Absolutely.
When
I was listening to it, I could think of was George Wallace back in the mid-60s.
I got to say this. Mr. Trump says in the good old days.
Wasn't that a buzzword?
Wayne, I heard Rachel Maddow say, she hasn't ever seen, you know, she can't remember this kind of, and she's old. And I thought, I had to shoot the Nerf gun at her because.
Yeah, right.
In the good old days, I stood in the streets protesting in front of the South African Embassy in New York City. I got billy clubbed and shit canned in the good old days. I got billy clubbed and shit canned and cheap ego trip, but truly my own. Bella Abzug was one of the people with us. And they let Nelson Mandela out of prison. And he became the president. I never thought I'd live to see that.
That was quite an accomplishment.
That was the good old days. And that was protest. And, you know, what I'm saying here is because this show really is about putting Ryan on today. You know, there's a contention in the air that it's nothing like a Trump protest, but it's every bit vitriolic and nasty from within certain little core groups who, you know, in town, and you're always going to see that around. But it's a little over the top here.
If you look at the historical records and video clips, they're nothing more than the brown shirts of Nazi Germany.
Well, yeah, but, you know, what I'm trying to do is set a platform for Ryan here because here's the thing. Ryan publishes an environmental-friendly and activist-oriented publication. He has championed the environment. The name of his publication is Earth First. He makes his home here in Lake Worth, and he has been an active protester and activist. And he can explain his resistance and some of the things that have occurred, especially within posts on social media or whatnot, here. But here's a young man who's saying, okay, I'm going to make a change in my life and I'm going to work from the system from within. Now, I'm not taking a stand and saying, you know, the other side of the street there, the incumbents are bad people. In fact, probably most likely they are good people trying to do a very difficult job. I'm just going to say that because that's the right and fair thing to say about any of the candidates who are running. And yet, here's a candidate, a young man who has put himself out there and protested and been an activist. I mean, I joined Occupy Wall Street Palm Beach and did what I could at that point. But I also worked very hard to put President Obama in office the first time out. I mean, responsible citizenry and working to better your community. Not everybody understands or does it, but those who do, that's what keeps us going. And what's going on the national side right now is pretty horrible and frightening. And, I mean, the last time this kind of stuff erupted, we were left with bodies of great leaders. And I think everybody should have the opportunity to speak and address, and that's one of the reasons why I think it was so important to ask Ryan if he wanted to come back on, because he didn't seem to be getting in. And Ryan, the mic is yours. Please address this, because we've been getting mailers here that are pretty awful. Basically, they're using your own words against you a lot, Ryan. Which is everything's fair in politics, yes?
Yeah, I agree. And I don't even know where to start. It's been such a wild ride. The three incumbents who are pretty much running as one person have, as of the last campaign report, which was a month ago, they had raised just about $90,000.
Wow.
And that's what they raised for themselves. There's also the mailers that you see being sent about me are funded. Some of them are funded by Hudson Holdings, which is, or a PAC that is funded by Hudson Holdings, who is the group responsible for wanting to raise height limits and buy our beach or lease our beach.
Mm-hmm.
And they've paid $9,000 to this PAC that's putting out a mix of half-truths and lies and things taken out of context. And I've been an activist for over a decade, and it's been my experience that the more effect you're having, the more firepower they'll throw at you. And so,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and the fact that they're spending tens of thousands of dollars to come out with these comical mailers that call me all sorts of crazy names shows me that I'm actually having an effect. But, yeah, so some of the things that I haven't seen all of them yet because they sent a few to my house for some reason, but the things that I've seen, so some things were taken out of context, and I'll address them too, but some things were just straight-up lies, and they're trying to use fear. They've called me violent. They've called me someone who encourages people to kill the police. They've called me a terrorist.
Yeah.
And so now they have I think most people can see through it. But even people that are still going to vote for them can see through that. There is a fringe group, like, you know, you see at Trump rallies, who,
yeah,
when, you know, I knock on their door, they answer the door, they see this person there who they've never met before and they don't know anything about, but they know they got a mailer that called me a violent cop-killing terrorist, and they react in ways. No one's gotten violent with me yet, but people have threatened to come to my house with a gun. People have said, "Get the fuck off my property," and and with more and more things that are coming out, and more lies that are being spread, I feel like they're trying to get people to intimidate me.
Oh man, I didn't know that it was that bad, Ryan. I just knew that the rhetoric had gone way overboard. And I also, I mean, I had people because I use social networking, and Facebook does a lot of damage or a lot of good, and it can turn with the wind. And I had somebody actually email me all of these screenshots they took from one of your pages that said things like prison guards are cops are bastards, all of them. If you think about what Rachel Maddow just said, and let me get this out. When you think about, I first of all, in response to that, I said, you know, we all get mad. And does anybody in this room know who Corey Jones is?
Right.
Wayne, for your
disadvantage on that one.
Edification. Corey Jones is a young black man who was, I think, murdered by an off-duty cop, who saw him, he had car trouble with a van and pulled over to the side of the road using his cell phone to try to get a hold of AAA or whatever. And a cop assumed, I don't know what he assumed, but he shot Corey. And I was one of the people who went and stood in the memorial because the Black Lives Matter group isn't too strong here locally that I'm aware of, but certainly we have, especially in our little community that I really love. I love Lake Worth, and I grew up just down the street, Lighthouse Point. It's filled with artists, and it's a slice of old Florida. And if you want to know what developers are capable of, you take a look at the presidential forerunner for the Republicans. That's a developer.
Right, exactly.
That's all I got to say on that.
And many of his developments have gone bankrupt belly up, too.
Oh, hell, you go around Palm Beach County. You know, I came from an affluent family a little south of here. My mother was part of the Republican Party, hell, in the 60s. She was head of the Republican Party in Broward County for a few years. But that was a whole different time, let me tell you.
Oh, yes.
There's nothing wrong with business, but I mean, we've got little boxes now going up on our roads, these piled up condos that I'm like, wow, we don't really need that, do we? I mean, it's blight. It's a blight, a developer blight. And Ryan's quite right. There's going to be a play to take our beach away from us because there's money to be made in doing that. and getting casinos and Ryan is representing from the bet, and Ryan can speak for himself, but he's saying, you know, we need to put a brakes on that end and take care of the infrastructure problems. And let me tell you what, in this city right now, I mean, I have never seen, and it's not just Lake Worth, Florida, it's all over the country. I have never seen the kind of, now I gave up my car for the environment. When I travel, I rent, I share my sister's vehicle when I need it. But I'll tell you what, I mean, I drove down to Fort Lauderdale a couple of months ago, and it's not just Lake Worth, but Lake Worth is awful bad. You have got to navigate our streets in order not to, I mean, that's how many holes, Wayne, are in the streets around here. And the incumbents have said, you know, be patient, we're going to get that done. And at the same time, they're getting grant money and they're putting in a commerce park for big business. And there's a question of a company that's, I would love to see the old Gulfstream Hotel here down in the middle of town by the bridge get refurbished and used well. But, you know, if developers have another idea, it's concerning to me. There's a reason there's a ridge law in the mountains, you know? We've got condominiums here that are stacked on top of one another going for $250,000 to $350,000. I'm like, okay, yeah, right. But Lake Worth, East Lake Worth is filled with all these wonderful old Florida homes, cottages and adobe made buildings and homes that represent a bygone era and should be nurtured and gentrified. And I don't mean gentrified by fix it up and sell it to people who can afford it and, you know, move the existing. I mean, we have undocumented people. There's a lot of Maya around here. My neighbors next door to me are Maya. Of course, we do have the revolving motel on the other side of a lot of islanders coming through, which bothers the hell out of me, especially it's slumlording. There's a lot of that going on. But you know what? Ryan should be telling you these things. These are issues he's dealing with. And as a candidate, you know, this is what's standing there. You've got a real fight going on. And like I said, the incumbents, I know Andy. I don't have anything against Andy. I know he's gotten real picky about even talking to people because of the contentiousness of the commission. But here's the other thing. These three incumbents did these little 4 or 5 minute videos. And they're really good. Ryan, have you watched them?
I haven't watched them yet, no.
They're really, really good. And they actually let you see something. Well, they let you see what the subject wants you to see of them. But they're very good. And they're totally not what you're getting in the mail. They are not anything like the shit that is coming through my door, killing trees, to put these slick glossies up of Ryan and the other, you know, contenders for the incumbent seats. It's also cost you, hasn't it, Ryan? The other guys that are running against the incumbents are trying to distance themselves a bit from you because of this nastiness, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the mailers have hurt me, but they've also helped me because most people that I talk to can see through them. You know, if they get something in the mail, so when we send out mailers, we have people on our side who have been in this community for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and they've written letters on our behalf. They've written sensible letters that say, hey, here's what the incumbents have done in the past 6 years while they're in power. Here's what the people running for office want to do. And at the end of the letter, they put sincerely and in their name, their address, and their phone number. When the other side sends stuff out, it's unedited, written, like, I mean, it seems like it's a newspaper from the 1930s. Just like, be afraid, be very afraid. And there's spelling mistakes,
yep.
There's grammatical mistakes, there's horribly Xerox things, and then none of them are signed. They're all from anonymous people. And I just feel like if people felt this strongly, like they care about Lake Worth so much and they believe so much that I'm everything they're calling me, then why not put your name out there? And
well, yeah, I agree with you.
I think it's a few, it's mostly developers. There's also a few people who are just voting for these people no matter what because they, I've knocked on people's doors and they're voting for Scott Maxwell because he goes to their church. And
right,
so
yeah.
They're going to get those votes. I think developers, when they think about Lake Worth, they want what's best for their bank accounts. And when Scott Maxwell thinks about Lake Worth, he wants the same thing. He owns properties. He wants those values to go up. He wants developers to come in here because he makes money off of that. When I look at Lake Worth, I want what the people want. So if I was going door to door and everybody was telling me, hey, we want as many high rises as we can fit. We want to lease our beach for the next 99 years to this company. And we want to just give away Lake Worth. Then I would either be forced to represent that opinion or I just wouldn't run for office. But when I'm knocking on doors, I've talked to over 1,000 people and there's been 2 people who have said, I don't want our beach to be public anymore. I don't want there to be height limits. I want more and more and more development. And the vast, vast, vast majority of people do not want that.
Well, I got to tell you, Brian, I got this mailer that fiction versus fact, side-by-side comparison of false claims by the you guys are the obstructionist extremists. I don't see how, I mean, I'm even pissed off at Bernie Sanders for not mentioning Occupy Wall Street once. But on the one side, they've got the obstructionists saying on heights referendum that the commission raised the heights limit to allow high-rise condos and building in residential neighborhoods. Well, we have had condos and high-rises built like hell. I mean, these ones that are up by my country store on, I guess they call it Route 5 that goes into Olive or what we call Federal. I mean, they're, you know, little boxes that have been just slammed up, and it's really, you look and at once you think, well, there's construction. On the other hand, you think, oh, my God, really? We need people living on top of each other. And then the public record is that the city actually lowered the height limits from 45 feet across the city to 35 feet to protect our neighborhoods and preserve our small town character. Is that true? Did they do that?
No, they changed the way they measure the heights. So heights used to be measured from the top. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
To be measured from the top.
Yeah.
From the top of the roof. And now it goes from, you know, they take from where the roof starts to where the roof ends, and they measure from the middle of that. And so they haven't lowered height limits. And then this thing, the flyer that went out that says, obstructionists are saying commissioners raise the height limit. Maybe obstructionists are saying that. I've never said that. I've never claimed that they've raised height limits. And what I'm saying is that the people of Lake Worth went out and voted, and they said, yes, we want to amend our charter to say that there will be height limits and they will be this. And the city commission, instead of doing what they're supposed to do and making that an ordinance, ignored it. And they're refusing to put it into law. And so they can say, you know, we are following the law. We never break the law because they're choosing not to make that a law. And so they're not lying. They're just, you know, stretching the truth a little bit.
So they want to violate the height restrictions as part of the renovation of the Gulfstream Hotel on the one side here. Then on the other side, it says, not only does the planned Gulfstream project comply with city zoning and use ordinances, the Gulfstream Hotel renovation creates a unique opportunity for Lake Worth. We can save a historic landmark while providing much needed boost to our city's economic and financial stability. Well, I'm wondering about that, the much-needed boost to the city's economic and financial stability. Is that the sale of real estate and new residents coming in? That certainly could be taken that way. But basically, I'm wondering, you know, what's behind that? What's the real story?
I think, yeah, this is another way that they're stretching the truth. So nobody, I have never once in my life said that I don't want the Gulfstream Hotel reopened. The people that are running against the incumbents, Frank McElonen, Diane Jock, Gary Antiou, none of them have ever said we don't want the Gulfstream reopened. We said that, or I said, that the Gulfstream is great. You know, we have this amazing building in downtown Lake Worth, and we don't really have any other hotels. You go to West Palm Beach or you go to Del Rey, you expect to stay at a Holiday Inn. But when you come to Lake Worth and we're this unique little town, you should have this unique hotel right in downtown. That's great. What we're saying is their plan is to knock it down, rebuild it so it exceeds proposed height limits, build a parking garage next to it, and then there's something behind it, too, that they also want to knock down and build new condos. And we're saying don't do that. Like, why can't we just start with fixing up and reopening the Gulfstream Hotel? It made money in the past. It'll make money now. And I think it'll attract tourists. You know, when my mom comes to visit, she doesn't stay in Lake Worth because there's nowhere nice to stay.
Gotcha. Yeah. I kind of thought that's what they were up to. I really did. I thought that's what the incumbents wanted to see, was the natural historical landmark refurbished and opened up for use. They say that there's the infrastructure bond referendum, and I know it failed. I voted for it. You know, I wanted to see things. Really, was I lying when I said you really have to navigate the streets because of the
bond? Yeah, I have a friend who got pulled over last week because the cop thought she was drunk because she was swerving in and out of trying to avoid a cop.
It's true.
I know. The mental image just projected in my mind as soon as he said that. Because that's what I'm doing out here in Ohio, too, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, well, because, you know, we need to cut taxes, which means you sacrifice your infrastructure, but you'll make it up for in front-end alignments. It's good for business, I guess.
Exactly.
Well, there's people who are saying and questioning, I'm one of them, you know, it's like, well, is the money going to this new commerce park a quid pro quo on the part of the incumbents to bring more business in so that they can find other ways to help get the infrastructure monies needed to begin to repair roads, waters. I mean, the mayor herself was on local news a week or so ago with the rusted out pipes, water pipes in this in the town. And I mean, anybody who's paying attention to national news and knows what's going on in Flint, Michigan is looking up and saying, hey, what are you talking about? You know? Are we getting poisoned too? I mean, and you got to have some sympathy for the mayor who's saying, you know, shit, I've only been here a couple of years and this is but we're going to get a plan to work with it. However, it's infrastructure. And on the one hand, on this fiction versus fact thing, that this is a big money grab with no clear plan on how to use the money. The 2020 project will cost every taxpayer thousands of dollars in taxes annually, and the 2020 project could only address 30% of the streets. Most of the city will see no infrastructure improvements. But on the incumbent side, they're saying the infrastructure bond effort was designed to provide funds to replace water and sewer lines, improve drainage, sidewalks, and curbs. And hey, I've seen them working on the gas lines and replacing things around here. They've worked on my street. So there is infrastructure going on here. People are working on certain projects around town. But, you know, I guess some streets are getting repaved or taken care of, but it's certainly not in the southeast end of the community where I live here that it's going on that I can tell, because and that's from downtown on up. I mean, there's potholes big as cheese, big kettles in the street driving and going into Lake Avenue downtown. that you've got to maneuver around. It's really pretty awful. But what's go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the funny part, the mailer that you're talking about, you know, it's all about how I'm a horrible candidate. And then you turn to the back page and they actually have a picture of a pothole and someone's sticking their arm into the pothole.
Oh, wow.
And so in a way, they're campaigning for me.
I see what you're saying about the Park of Commerce project.
Okay.
It's on the one hand, they're saying it's a project for the benefit of developers and private property owners. And then on the other side, they're saying, unfortunately, Lake Worth has a double-digit unemployment rate. These improvements will result in thousands of new jobs for our residents. Have never in this state personally seen that one ever be true. I'm just saying. And bringing new businesses and expanding existing ones is vital to the financial stability of the city. Well, yeah, it is, but we've got plenty to work with that's already here that could use the funding to, you know, spruce up the town as it exists right now for the use of the residents we already have and not to bring in, you know, a whole brand new group of income. I don't know. I do know. It sounds to me very much like developers would like to redo the whole place so they can bring in a higher rent district and just, you know, push the rest of the people, you know, like gentrification out to the street. I mean, it smacks of that. I don't know that that's true. But it certainly smacks of that.
Well, yeah, so the Park of Commerce, in theory, is a great idea. Let's build a bunch of businesses. Employers will come in here, open businesses. Our tax base will go up. People that don't have jobs will now have jobs, and everybody's happy. But reality is completely different than that. And I've asked Scott Maxwell on a number of occasions, okay, so A, when is this project going to be done? When are we going to have those jobs? No answer. What kind of businesses are going to move in? Are they going to be the kind of businesses that are going to hire people in Lake Worth? Or are they going to be people that are unemployed in Lake Worth? Are they going to be businesses that those people can work at? Or are they not? No answer. And I've talked to a CPA who did the math. And if we put money into the Park of Commerce, I think they're proposing $11 or $14 million total. And some of that's from grants. Some of that is also from our road funds and from our utility funds. And so if we use our tax dollars to build up the Park of Commerce, and then our entire city, the value of our entire city, the homes and the businesses, is around $1.2 billion. If we can manage to bring $1 billion worth of businesses to the Park of Commerce, which is a long shot, but if we can do that and we tax them, it's going to take us 30 years to pay back the money that we're using to do it. So then so if the Park of Commerce goes according to plan, it's possible that by 2050 or so, we'll have the money to fix these roads. But when I talk to people that actually live in the city and have to drive up and down these roads every day, they're telling me they want their roads fixed now because 50 years from now or 40 years from now, they're going to be gone or the roads are going to be even worse conditions. And we can take some of the money. And, you know, what my opponent says, when I say we can take some of the money from Park of Commerce and spend it on roads, his response is always to say, oh, well, we're getting grants. And that's partially true. We got a $1.2 million grant. And if they can figure out a way to fund the entire Park of Commerce on just grants, then I'm 100% behind it. Let's do it. But the money that they're spending on road maintenance, we could spend in the neighborhoods. The money they're spending to do wastewater infrastructure, we could spend in the neighborhoods. All the money like that, we could spend in the neighborhood. The money they're taking from the utility department, we could spend in our neighborhoods. And that would also increase the value of homes. That would encourage new people to live here. There's people that I talk to that are leaving, that say, you know, they have for sale signs in their yard and they've lived here for 20 years and they just can't handle it anymore. The roads are a mess, code isn't doing their job, this and that, and so they're leaving. And if we actually did what people who live here wanted, maybe these people wouldn't leave and maybe some of these vacant homes would get bought. And that would increase our tax base a lot quicker than waiting 30 years to pay back a loan.
Right. Good point.
Ryan, I got to ask you, too, about these letters that are apparently going out. They look like they've all been sort of run off on the same copying machine, but they're signed by different people. They say at the bottom that they're a political advertisement paid by the person who signs the letter that says, you know, dear neighbor, I don't know if you've seen them, but there's quite a few residents have gotten them. And I've been residing in Lake Worth for nearly 20 years and went to high school here and chose to buy a home here because I love our city, its diversity, eccentricities, and creativity. I'm with that. The one thing I don't love, however, is the potholes that plague our roads, not just in our neighborhood, but all of our cities. It doesn't take much imagination to come up to the conclusion that the roads are just the surface of our infrastructure problems. And they're being ignored. If you remember, in 2014, the public voted down a $63 million loan to fix what the city let deteriorate. And it's before the incumbents that a lot of this stuff started. I know that's true. A lot of this decay is on the past administrations. This letter says that, you know, a new plan, now just before election, they're seeing some mention made of a new plan in some of the incumbent literature, and it says that's convenient. I actually call them the party of patience. Be patient. I've also read, and I'm quoting this letter now again, I've also read that we're about to put a lot of effort and money into the industrial park specifically to create new roads. Some of these funds are grant dollars, but about $5 million are coming from our public budget. I believe the industrial park has a great potential, but it will take many years for the city to get a return on that investment. Who knows where the money will be delegated? I want new city leaders to address our roads with urgency. Now, he ends up saying there are good candidates challenging the incumbents. Next Tuesday, I will be voting for that change at City Hall. I hope you will too. Yada, yada, sincerely. And this one's Ed Grimm. And there's another one that's exactly like it. Jeez. And it's signed sincerely Sue Stevens. And they're all on the same day. It's definitely a... Xeroxed copy.
Right.
But Ryan, where does that come from, that kind of thing? Because that doesn't look good on the, and you probably, I don't know if you know about them or not, but that's like, that gives these vitriolic folks who are fighting for the incumbents a lot of fuel, and they say, look, this is just BS, and people are propagating this. How do you answer that? Where do those come from?
I would say if two people got together to write a letter, then I have no problem with that. If Ed Grimm and Sue Stevens have the same opinions, I have no problem with that. I know Christopher McVoy sent out a letter as well that's completely different than their letter, and the fourth letter went out that was also completely different. So these are people that have lived here, who went to Lake Worth High School and have lived here their entire life, and their families live here, and they know what they're talking about, and they felt the need to write a letter.
Okay.
And, you know, if two of them got together and did it, I'm fine with that. But, and if, you know, if people are off-put by that, then they'll definitely be off-put by the fact that they've gotten 12 mailers from the opponents that were all written by the same person that all just talk about. So they'll just make things up. They say that Frank doesn't support the police, that I want to kill police. I would say, you know, if you can critically think, if I got a letter in the mail from someone and it said, hi, I've lived here my whole life. Here are my concerns. Sincerely, Ryan Hartman, and my phone number and my address, I would take that seriously. If I got these, like, you know, spelling mistake written weird things that we get in the mail, I wouldn't take that seriously. You know, I mean, you know where these are coming from. You can call Ed Grimm and you can ask him, hey, why does your letter look like Sue Stevens' letter? You can call Sue Stevens and ask her. You can go to their houses. They'd be more than likely to talk to you.
Good point.
Try to find the people who sent this. a letter went out today. It was really weird. It was about 7 or 8 pages, and it went to the Lake Osborne neighborhood, and it was saying that Lynn Anderson, who's a local blogger, is helping the three of us get elected. And then it went on to list. It was a whole bunch of lies about me, then a bunch of lies about Frank, and then they talked about Diane, and it was signed Bill with no return address. So if you want to try to verify any of this, or go to Bill's house or call Bill and say, "Hey, Bill, where did you get this information from? Why did you think this?" You can't, because Bill's not a real person. If you want to find out, hey, I want to contact the people who sent out the mail that you were just referring to, with the bond issue on it and stuff. You can't, because it's a PAC from Tallahassee. But the people that are writing letters for me are from Lake Worth. The people that are knocking on doors for me are all volunteers who are from Lake Worth and not getting paid a penny. The people knocking on doors for my opponent are getting paid to knock on doors, and that's why you'll find your Ryan Hart. If you don't get to talk to me because you're not home, you'll find my door knocker on your door. If you don't get to talk to Scott Maxwell because he's not knocking on doors, but you will see his door hanger in your yard because he just pays people to throw it in your yard.
Yeah, you know, it was on my doorknob yesterday, and I was here all day. I do want to ask you specifically about, because I don't know what the context is or anything, but explain about your temper tantrum with the cops and what that's all about, especially in Facebook posts. Can you do that?
Because yeah, absolutely.
That's one that is going back and forth, and they're accusing you of, you know, being at odds with first responders and hating all cops and yada, yada, yada. And then one of the reasons I opened up with the protest and all that was to put it into a context with, you can be an activist, you can be a protester, and you can still have respect for or work with the local authorities when there is integrity there. But this is something that's going around out there, and you know they're posting your stuff in the Lake Worth rooms all over the place, but a lot of those folks, not all of them, but a few of them, I recognize the drama addiction that they have. I get it. But please address this.
So the things that they're spreading around, a lot of them are taken out of context. For example, the prison guard quote that you said before, that was attached to an article about how guards at a youth prison in Florida were forcing inmates to fight for Snickers bars. And so that was my reaction to saying, you know, fuck the police.
Yeah.
I've been involved in activism for my entire adult life. Even before that, you know, growing up in New Jersey, I had friends who were white and I had friends who weren't white. And I noticed a stark difference between and my interactions with the police, if I would get pulled over or I'd be walking down the street when I'm with my white friends versus when I was with my black friends. They were a lot different. That's something that's always been in my mind. And then over the past couple of years, it's been brought to light more, you know. But it seems like almost every day when I check the newspaper, some other unarmed person of color gets killed by the police.
Yeah,
and then you wait for some kind of consequence, and there are none. Like, the worst-case scenario is the cop gets fired with a pension, and so there's never any consequences. You saw protests erupt from coast to coast, like highways getting shut down, Senate offices being shut down, people demanding answers, people saying, "Our lives matter, why aren't you paying attention to us?"
Right.
And in the midst of all this, I sit at my computer and I read about it, and that's very frustrating, and it's really powerless when you feel like you can't do anything. I can't go into the streets and be like, "Hey, stop killing these people." And so the only thing I felt like I could do was say, "Fuck you" on Facebook. And
I hear you. I've done it myself. I have. I being a little bit older, I realize that it can bite my ass, but I think about it, but then I usually still, I'm quite capable of saying, "Fuck this." I get you.
Yeah, and a lot of it was, you know, to get attention, you know, like, if you just post things on Facebook, they don't necessarily show up on people's pages. But when you post things with something written above it, it'll show up on people's pages. And if you post something saying, "Hey, read this article," people might not read it. But when you post something inflammatory like that, more people will read it. And that's what all newspapers do. They have clickbait. A lot of the things that they quoted me saying weren't me saying it. So there's these things called pull quotes. So I publish a magazine, right? So if we have an article about the depletion of the Everglades. It'll be a 3-page article, and we lay the article out, and then in the article, there's quotes from the article. And, you know, like, oh, this is a really good quote from the article, so you put it on the page, you put it in bold.
Absolutely.
And so I would do that. Right, so I would read an article, I'd find an interesting quote from the article, I'd cut it out, I'd paste it onto my page, and I'd put quotes around it, so you could tell that I'm not the one saying this, this is just from this article. And now
yeah,
they're spinning that around, saying that I'm saying that. And I know also a lot of people get confused and think that when you post something on Facebook, I've had this happen with family members that think that everything I post on Facebook means that I wrote it. And that's obviously not true. Also, I'm just reposting articles. And my anti-police articles were a tenth of the articles that I posted. Most of what I posted was about the environment. And that also includes
themes.
Went back over a year. Oh, sorry.
I would imagine. I have many friends who are part of Green Resistance, and I know some that I don't agree with some of their methods, but in the last, especially the last 10 years, I mean, I have great respect for guerrilla activism against, the big oil companies. I don't know if you know who Sheree Foytlin is, but she's a friend. And I've seen her locked into, she got arrested with Bob Kennedy Jr. in D.C. when he took to protesting, you know, the big oil fracking, the water tables, everything that is so very immediate. My first goal in any candidate anymore really is the environment. And it has been for many years because it's a crisis that we have to face. In that statement, Ryan, this is one of the reasons I've reached out to you, because I realized, and one of my roommates used to work with you, Cece, down there with tree sitting and stuff like that. And I have great respect for environmental activism. I think it's necessary. It has to go on. It's got to be pushed. There's only one way. If they will not listen to you, and money buys its way, still, you really have to do something. I do respect what you do, and I commend you for it. And I realize that activism has been your tool. And that's one of the reasons I wanted you to come on and say, listen, and you have. This is who I am. This is what I've done. And now I would really like to be a part of the system to help make the changes that need to be done in your home. I get it.
Yeah, and they're trying to twist that into me being a crazy person linked with terrorist organizations.
Yeah.
But in reality, I protest to try to save the environment. I protest to try to stop police violence. I protest to try to end wars. I've worked with Iraq Vets Against War. I've worked with victims of police violence. Scott Maxwell's form of activism is kicking out what he calls illegal immigrants. Even, you know, if that person had to flee their country because they witnessed their entire family get killed, and they knew that if they stayed there, they would be killed, his solution is to send them back. He's called children anchor babies. He has just had white supremacists on his show and has links to white supremacist groups, and that's his activism, and yet nobody's talking about that. And I don't understand how they can, you know, their candidate is against human beings, wants to essentially send human beings to their death, and that's fine, but because I made a couple comments on Facebook, that means I'm this crazy person who's not fit for government.
There you go.
Go
ahead. Sorry.
I would say, if anything, you know, I have been fighting government officials for years. You know, yes, I'll go to the streets and protest. I'll write letters to the editor, but I also speak with elected officials and try to hold them accountable and try to have rallies to, you know, if an elected official isn't doing a good job, let's get them out of office. And so someone like me, as an elected official, I will not become an elected official. I will also help the other. I'll also hold the other elected officials accountable. And so I think it would be great to have someone like me in government, who's not part of the status quo.
And I'm going to say this, like my co-host here, I'm imagining that you are a Bernie Sanders supporter for national election.
Yeah. I mean, Trump scares me very much.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's
about as ugly as America can get, is the Donald Trump campaign and his constituents and supporters.
Yeah.
It's frightening what's going on out there. It is very frightening. Ryan, overall, as this election, and whether or not I have you can come in and listen to a show while it's ongoing without being logged in as a chat guest or whatever. And I have a little thing that shows me whether or not people are logged in or not. And how many are listening? Quite a few people are listening to this conversation. So I want to give you, and I figure most of them are local because I did post this in the local room so that folks do that. I want to give you the opportunity to say, you know, I mean, it's Tuesday and I'll be phone banking for my national candidate who stuck her boot right in her mouth yesterday. Oh my God, man! Even I'm stuttering. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid, guys. I adore Bernie. I like what I like, and I support. And he was my first support. But I know how Washington runs, and I think the lady can get a lot more done than Mr. Sanders. And I think that he's pushing her to the left.
Oh, agreed. I agree with that statement.
And I do think she cares about her legacy. And I will point out that she has, I mean, it's like Ryan, all this crap thrown at him out of context. You know, when she sat on the board of Walmart, do you know why she did that? She did that because she went to the Waltons there in Arkansas when she wanted to institute school programs for single mothers and children and health conditions, a program that she found abroad, brought over here. It's now a part of our whole school system. And she went to Mrs. Walton and said, "You got money, I want it." And she said, "Quid pro quo, you're going to come sit on our board for a while." And she did, and she got the job done.
Which kind of gets back to what I've always been saying, Gwen, is if you don't like what's going on, try to work within the system, just as Ryan is. He, you know, he was an activist and stuff, but he knows, and he might be able to do better to work within the system to make things change instead of from the outsider.
There are a lot of things.
And I commend you on that.
Thank you.
Yes, Ryan.
Yeah, and I think to look on the bright side of things, too, I think the way Bernie is making Hillary move to the left and making the whole conversation move.
Yeah.
I feel
like
worst case scenario is people go to the polls on Tuesday and I lose, but we're having this conversation. Lake Worth is having the conversation about anarchy, about holding cities accountable and things like that. And that way 2 years from now, if someone else wants to run, it'll be a lot easier for them to say things that I'm saying now because people will be used to hearing it.
Well, not only that, but Ryan, I hope to see you run again. I mean, you don't lay it down, buddy. I mean,
hopefully I'm running for re-election in 2 years.
Well, that's the attitude. Go for it. Absolutely.
I got to tell you, from what I'm polling out there, just talking to a couple of people downtown and then around the neighborhood, and on my street, there's the incumbent signs, but your signs are out there too. You should know that. You have support. And you keep it up. Your business is here in Lake Worth. You know, and it takes a lot of courage to walk through this. And I give you kudos and congratulate you for doing that, for sticking with it. It does. It takes a lot of courage. Man, if I got this shit slung at me, it would be extraordinarily difficult. But I've been there. Look, I'm taking a shellacking from most of my buddies. You're voting for Hillary? You should see the shellacking I'm taking. But then again, most of them are like, I understand what you're doing. You're looking at the chessboard. You're seeing what can be done in the reality of the situation. I wish you very good luck, Ryan. And I hope there's enough of a show. You never know. You just never know. It's like you never know who's going to end up being the blue nominee. You just don't know. It's still anybody's race. Is there anything else you would like for people to know before we close it off? Or
Yeah, I would say if people want to talk to me, talk to me. You know, there's a lot of people that are going around spreading misinformation, and at least hear my side of it. You know, like, you're getting these things in the mail paid for by developer companies that say things about me. And I ask you to at least have an open mind. Why would you just believe something you get in the mail? But think about it before you believe it. And I have put my phone number out there on Facebook, on my door hangers. I mean, if there's anyone in Lake Worth that doesn't have my phone number by now, I'd be surprised. And just to say it again, it's 561-255-4147. And I answer my phone. If I don't answer my phone, it's because I'm knocking on doors, and I'll call you back. But I am more than willing to talk to anybody in this city if you have things to say. Instead of going on Facebook, making up a bunch of lies, and trolling people's pages, talk to me. I'm a human being. And I'm not a terrorist. I don't want to kill cops. I don't encourage other people to kill cops. I don't celebrate when cops are killed. You can call Captain Bear. You can call Lieutenant Gruber in the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Department and ask them if they think I'm a cop killer. And just talk to me. I'm a person. And if we could have that's what I fight for basically in life, is a world where when you have a problem with someone, you talk to them. You know, if your neighbor's playing music too loud, instead of calling the police on them to try to get them into trouble or turning to your other neighbor and talking about the neighbor playing music too loud, knock on their door and say, hey, excuse me, you're playing your music too loud. And if you come up to me and you try to talk to me and I'm crazy and I say, get out of my face, I'm trying to kill a cop, then don't vote for me. You were right, but at least you validated the fact that you were right. But, yeah, I guess that's it. Just talk to me.
Thank you, Ryan, for being with us this morning. And I hope it does some good out there. I do know people will listen to this. And, whether or not they take it for something they can use for more vitriolic drama, that's fine. It's really up to the voters who you think is doing the best job. Like I said before, I do think people are out there, including Andy and the mayor seems to have, but I haven't paid close enough attention to it. I do take you for your word, Ryan, about the issues. I would like to see a much more. It's like this. People, take a look at who's winning the Republican nomination right now. He's a developer, and the thing is, the guy he's got a huge reputation in Palm Beach County. If you talk to constructionists, business people here, they call him a welcher. I have a friend who owns a teleprompter company who has done many, many shows with Trump and at Trump places. She told me that since this has begun, so many companies have pulled their conventions out of Trump properties that it's really hurting them financially. And Donald Trump he really is a scuzzbucket. He really is. But there's a lot of politicians out there on the national level who are and are getting away with it. And I guess we've come to our Jesus moment. Unfortunately.
Well, Glenn. And I was going to say, I know that a lot of the listeners, because this is more local versus where we reach more national and international, I have to reiterate, back in 2005, the hour-long one-on-one I had with Jack Kemp, I warned him about embracing this reactionary far-right aspect. It was going to destroy my Republican Party. And 10 years later now, we're seeing it come to fruition.
Well, they are going down in ashes right now, but I don't know if they will survive or not, but I believe they will because they always have. Yesterday, we watched the nation everybody was watching, and I wanted to hear what Nancy or Patty Davis had to say at her mother's funeral. You know, my Uncle Frank was in the Congress when Reagan was president. He got along with him very well.
Reagan also got along with Tip O'Neill. That's when the two parties did work together for the betterment of the company.
It's quite true. And there wasn't the kind of contentiousness and quid pro quo that was backdoor knives coming out, as there was with the previous Republicans who got caught with their hands in the pie. That's the only impeached president we know, you know. But it's been going that it was the door opening of the neocons into Washington, and it started changing then. And yes. I gotta tell you, I always thought although the man was very good at diplomacy and he did some remarkable things in his administration as far as bridging and ending the Cold War and yada yada yada. The wall coming down in Berlin, I was actually there. It was a shock. We were on a tourist trip, but I saw ugly Americans when that was happening. Jeez, talk about developers. But oh my God. I mean, these guys were Texans. Pardon me, sinuses, guys. There's a huge change going on right now, a huge change, especially politically. I hope you do well on Tuesday, Ryan.
Thank you. Me too.
I hope you do well enough that you'll stay encouraged, you know, because we need your kind of idealism. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Like I said, you know, when I was young, I was protesting, and the good old days, and I did get clubbed, and I did get put in jail, and yet Nelson Mandela was free, and he became the president. I mean, it makes a difference. It makes a big difference. And kudos, and I hope you'll keep working on Earth First and environmental activism. You're so needed. So please be encouraged,
I was going to say, especially today, matter of fact, I just saw on Facebook here, there was a large mass fish killing in, I think it was Lake Erie here in Ohio, and they attributed it to fracking, but they can't say who was doing the fracking, you know, from the chemicals, because Halliburton is able to not list any of the chemicals they've used as being like proprietary, but they know damn well that the only one was fracking in that area was Halliburton.
That is changing.
Yeah, there's never a link. They never prove anything.
No, well, that is changing. There is some scheduling and you know they are. There was a case, just one, against natural gas with fracking.
Uh-huh.
Is it in Tennessee or Kentucky? Hockey. I don't know. It was a big case. It just the people sued and they won, and the structure of what is being used to frack is in question now, and that's going directly into D.C.
Right.
There shouldn't be any fracking whatsoever, and fracking in Florida. Are you kidding me?
Right. I was going to say, your water aquifer is in jeopardy right now as it is, much less having to be subjected to that.
Oh, my God.
Also, too, I just read a CEO of one of the gas industries in either Colorado or Wyoming. I'm kind of going off of memory here. But basically, he sued to stop fracking next to his huge mansion because he didn't want his water to be contaminated. This is the man who is fracking. And others, those are doing it, right, have sued to stop it because he doesn't want his. No, it's not in my backyard. Don't poison my well. Don't poison his well. Well, you know what? It's what we used to say when I was fighting my environmental battles. If it's not good enough for you, it sure as hell is not good enough for me.
Well,
and we've always took that, you know, and that was one of our strong arguments in front of our county commissioners and state officials and stuff when I was fighting the environmental battles.
Florida is facing environmental crisis as the rest of the country is not seeing. We have tremendous water problems down here in Table, and we can thank a lot of Republican policies and Big Sugar and all of that, but we need to change these things. So we need to save what we can and start cleaning up the planet.
Can I also say that my opponent does not believe that climate change has been researched enough to believe it, and therefore Lake Worth should not take any action to try to be ready for any sort of climate change.
You know, I like to quote on that. When I hear something like that, I like to quote Neil deGrasse Tyson. He says, you know, that's one good thing about science. It's a fact whether you believe it or not, but it's still a fact. The scientific proof is there.
Tell that
so if you want to project the ignorance, go for it. It doesn't change the reality of the situation.
All you have to do is go down and look at Lake Worth Beach to see what the rising water levels are doing, let alone take a look at Fort Lauderdale. Oh, my God. I had been gone for like 6 years. I came home. I went down to the Strip, went down to the old ocean mist for a few drinks with friends, and saw the beach in Fort Lauderdale and said, what the F?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know? There's no beach left. I was freaked. And Miami is taking bi-monthly and monthly floods now. So is New York City. It's a crisis.
Well, let me give you another example there on the peninsula, the Delmarva Peninsula, where my farm is, which Dover, Delaware, is just like 40 minutes north of my farm. The capital of Dover, Delaware, is having issues with their freshwater supply because it's being infiltrated by the salt water. The rising of the water tables, and it happens to be salt water that is permeating into the freshwater aquifers, and the city of Dover, Delaware, is now having some real issues of having true, clean, potable water for the constituents to drink.
Yeah, so it's happening. The water levels are rising.
It's happening. It's there.
And there's still the party of no. You talk about obstructionists. You know, you've got to hand President Obama his due on being a statesman who would not, you know, he's never put a boot on anybody's neck that I can see. He's not a quid pro quo kind of guy that way. But he has gotten a hell of a lot done in his presidency. With all of this obstructionism, Elizabeth Warren gave an impassioned speech, was it yesterday or day before yesterday, to the Senate, telling the Republicans, you're scared of what's happening? Do your job. They haven't done it for years. When one uncle's in the Senate, but my other uncle for 4 years was in the Congress. I mean, these men had interns they paid who kept them abreast of what was going on in the world, the environment, and the country. I mean, they paid them money for that. They haven't done that for years because of the greedy politicians in D.C. And that's both parties. It's become a nastier place. But in conclusion here, Ryan, thanks for coming on and putting some clarity out there. I hope it helps you, that people will listen to this and get a clue as to what's actually going on and what your position is and the out of context on these posts that are going around that people are making so much hay with. thank you. And thank you for serving the community. Appreciate it a lot.
I will say, and even if you don't win, you keep fighting your battles. You keep making your point. Keep being known, because the next time, maybe in 2 years or 4 years, whatever your election cycle is there for this, the next time it comes around, it says, you know, I've talked to that guy. He's not as big of a nut job as they were telling me back, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He's okay, you know. So you keep working towards it. You know, well, you only lose You only lose when you stop trying. That's the only time.
Yeah, I'm never going to give up. I'll never give up. I live and make worth. I'm an activist. I'm never going to stop fighting.
That's the kind of talk I want to hear. Absolutely.
I thought, Ed, tomorrow we have a wonderful guest coming on. Talk about a protester. we've got a real revolutionary show coming up tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard here on the Sunday show with Jack Jodell and Wayne Johnson and myself. I'm going to close this down, guys.
All right.
Thank you so much, Ryan, for coming on, and good luck on Tuesday.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, shit, yeah. I mean, listen.
This has truly been a pleasure, absolutely.
If you've got any other local issues you're working on or anything you'd like to see get out more or whatever, please remember we're here, and shoot me a text or an email on projects, and we'll carve out some time for you.
All right, great. Thanks.
No problem.
Keep up the good work, friend.
Thank you.
And Wayne, thanks for jumping on the show with me this morning.
It's always my pleasure.
And
it's too important not to be involved.
You got a hell of a thing coming up. Well, so do we here in Florida. But the candidates, I think, are going to be right around you right now.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, Trump flew in. Obviously, I did not go to show up to wait. It was like, hi. No, that's right. But, yeah, Bernie Sanders, I think, is in today. Everybody and his brothers and all their constituent families are all going to be coming in here very soon. And the thing is Kasich, there's a lot of people here in Ohio that know him, that he's no different than Scott Walker of Wisconsin and the one who polluted, up there and made the decisions in Michigan that destroyed the water system in Flint, Michigan and stuff. He's a Me Too of them three. And then the three of them, they're a triad, what we're calling them.
I'm getting the idea. I it's kind of stupid to keep going over to Real Clear Politics and looking at the polls because they really screwed up in Michigan. But I do think Michigan went to Bernie because of Dearborn.
Oh, absolutely. And then, the Flint, Michigan aspect, yes.
Flint went to Hillary. That was.
Oh, is that right? I'm sorry, my bad.
Yeah, he had a measurable amount of votes there, but not anything compared to Hillary. Hillary has already gone in, laid $500,000 on the table, and started instituting programs, training jobs, and making sure deliveries of fresh water are going to houses every day. I'm going to say,
I'm not bashing Hillary. Either one of the two is fine with me, especially in today's current political environment.
Oh, my God.
One of those is going to be a much better choice than anything the Republicans are putting up right now.
Did you see what she did yesterday? I mean, she had to issue an apology. She just took the LGBT community and sort of dumped them in the water. She misspoke at Nancy Reagan's funeral. She said that they had brought the conversation up on AIDS awareness, and that was absolutely not what they did. They were forced at the end of his administration to acknowledge it, and she had to back on that one. And it's like Hillary, she's a master of the game. Let's face it, she is a master.
Oh, true.
She knows how to. For her to make a screw up like that, you know she needs a few days to sleep. You know.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Holy crap!
When it first showed up, Ace first showed up. That was God's divine intervention of getting rid of those people.
That
was the Reagan policy at that time because they chose to do absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I can remember being in a couple. I used to run down from Ithaca to New York to get in trouble. And I can remember going down to be in sit-ins for ACT UP. And God, people were really, nobody wanted to even touch you. I remember that just because you were
involved. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, Get eggs from somebody's sweat.
Yeah. No, it was real, man. It was real. And it was like, I was scared. I'll be honest with you. I was a bit scared.
Well, because you really didn't know.
No, but I'll tell you what. You can't. The way that the gay community was treated, the men, oh, my God, like lepers.
Oh, absolutely.
Lepers.
Well, not just the gay community. Remember, he was a young boy, like 11, 12 years old, hemophiliac, and had a blood transfusion.
Yes, yes.
And he got, that was somewhere like in that Wisconsin, Michigan area at the time. But then you had the religious fanatics saying that he was a queer and all this. He got it from AIDS because he was, having others buckering him. And, that was not true, that it was from a blood transfusion. God was taking his vengeance out on that homosexual. And the nihilistic statements of this poor young, and I felt the compassion that I have going out, being a parent myself, to those parents of that young boy, of this venomous, vile rhetoric that was going on by people who were just totally ignorant. I really felt sorry for those parents. I really did. They not only lost their child, but then they had all this crap going on, propagating about their dead child.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was just horrible. So Hillary fucked up yesterday. She did. I hope it didn't dent her too badly, but you just don't. I mean, there's been some.
Well, should come back and apologize.
Yes,
you mean I misspoke, and that can go a long way.
She immediately issued an apology and said that she misspoke, but I'm devoting a lot of my time before the primary here. I'm trying to get my business done. And keep up with that, but I'm still devoting a lot of time to phone banking right now and getting the vote out. And I just call in care of the, I've got her phone bank, but it's the Democratic list. And I'm asking people just to get out and vote, whoever the candidate is for. And then I ask them, hey, listen, I hope you'll consider my candidate, Hillary Clinton. And I'll tell you, I've spoken especially to people of color. They're very much, especially military families in the Carolinas and stuff, and here in Florida, are very much for Hillary. In fact, they think that first of all, they don't believe that a Jew will do, and this really shocked me, a Jew will do any better than a black man has in the White House. That really shocked me. He really comes. They also think he's way too old. I will say this. I have the Democratic list, and I called somebody in Miami, and I said, listen, I'm from the Democratic Party. I'm just wishing you to get out and vote for your candidate. And he was really cordial. And then I said to him, I hope you'll consider my candidate, Hillary Clinton. And he shot off at me that I was a effing C-U, you know what. I don't use
that. Yeah, got it.
And he said, because I wasn't voting for Trump, that made me.
Oh, see.
And this is
the mentality of that court.
I was speechless. I couldn't believe it. That's how angry, though, people are.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to lose time. We're gone. I will talk to you tomorrow.
Very good. And here's to all of us. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.